for a track to lay there vacant. I mean, I understand it's kind of out a little bit in Juliet, you know, what, a good 80 miles or so.
Sorry,
from the
I don't
city.
Mean to cut you off. There's tornado sirens going off. Well,
not here. We got a thunderstorm here, but no sirens yet, or sirens.
Sorry everyone. This is, I was going to say you're going to hear some weird ASMR with me feeding my dog right now, but what in the...
Well, this Twister rerun from 1996 is brought to you by Black Horizon Brewery.
I may have to like podcast this from my basement. Okay. I don't...
Here. Dude, we might have some breaking here. Could we have a tornado warning podcast at the same time? This might be breaking right here.
Okay, so... okay, remember how we said we didn't have the intro? Well, now we have the intro. Okay, well... Hey, you're listening to Just Here for the GLSR. I said it right that time. My name is Sammy B. I'm the driver of the 22 and one of the admins here in the league. I'm joined by the voice of GSLR, and he has a brand new name for the thing he does. Gris, tell us all about it.
It is something cool that I've been working on, and you know, I've got a new league that's adding on to the broadcast, and the guy gave me the idea of making a new logo and stuff. And I said, well, while we're doing that, let me just go ahead and throw you the new name and stuff. But basically, we're kind of updating our name a little bit, because when you look at it, Captain TV, awesome. It was a cool name. It ran its time. But are we really on TV? I mean, yeah, people have us on TVs, but this is becoming more of an esports thing. So I was like, you know what? I need to get esports in that name. And we're a network, so that we're covering a whole bunch of leagues, a whole bunch of racing, and God knows what else maybe down the road I might cover. Who knows? So, you know, I figured today would be the chance to release that. The Captain Esports Network is live. We got new logos we're working on, of course, graphics that if you've watched the last couple races on TV or on the network, you've seen them already. But if you haven't seen him, you'll see him Wednesday night.
Wednesday night is going to be a real thriller. I'm got a lot I'm trying to get ready for with that. Let me think. I've got my paint done. Super excited. I've been thinking. I've been pondering. Every year, season, when we've run Chicagoland as a finale, I've had a disastrous race. And I've always run a special edition, like, Chicago flag Black Horizon paint. It's just tradition. And I thought, you know what? Dean's running Black Horizon this season. I need to try and break this curse, but I need something in Chicago. So I'm doubling down on it. We're going to have the Aurelio's Pizza 22. It is a beautiful paint scheme, if I do say so myself. Hitting the track on Wednesday to try and survive my home track. It always hurts my soul that I do so bad there at the track I want to do so well at.
You're gonna do well. It's all about the mental game, as we've talked about before, but you know, it's such a fun race that we're getting ready for, and it's awesome to hear that paint scheme, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody out there on the track. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Championship four, crowning another champion. Last season's race was dramatic, to say the least, even though it was a pretty good chance we knew who was winning because of how dominant he was, he being Ricky Springer. You know, every driver, including Noah Mayari and Zach Allman, all those guys, they gave him a run for his money at the end of that race. J.W. Miller, it wasn't a one-man show at the end of that race. It was a fight.
And, I mean, even at the end, you had a charging William Calhoun. I feel like even with how the race changed at the end, because I remember there was some guys on some long fuel runs, long tire runs. I think Travis was interestingly in the mix for like a top five in that race, and then again got screwed up because I came out of the pits, got too low on the apron, span out of control, and spearheaded Zach Allman. So we've talked about that extensively. We don't need to beat that dead horse. But
now we'll just move on from that. It's an unfortunate deal, but yeah, I mean, it's, I think this race brings the best out of people. And with the unfortunate photos that you've shown me recently, this track that unfortunately is pretty much vacant now, which stinks because it's been one of the more fantastic racetracks to watch of any kind of racing. I mean, it holds like half of the closest IndyCar finishes of all time. One of the better NASCAR finishes here in the last 5 years, with the Kyle and Kyle show a couple years ago. For a track to lay there vacant, I mean, I understand it's kind of out a little bit in Juliet, you know, what, a good 80 miles or so.
Sorry,
from the
I don't
city.
Mean to cut you off. There's tornado sirens going off. Well,
not here. We got a thunderstorm here, but no sirens yet, or sirens. Sorry
everyone. This is, I was going to say you're going to hear some weird ASMR with me feeding my dog right now, but what in the...
Well, this Twister rerun from 1996 is brought to you by Black Horizon Brewery.
I may have to like podcast this from my basement. Okay. I don't...
We might have some breaking here. Could we have a tornado warning podcast at the same time? This might be breaking right here.
Okay, so remember how we said we didn't have the intro? Well, now we have the intro. Okay, well, anyways, we're gonna just keep talking while I figure out what to do with my dog here.
Well, first things first, what city are you in? Because I'm gonna look over here at the map on my radar on my phone.
I'm in DuPage County in a town called, I moved out of the city over COVID. Why did I forget where I live? Westmont. I live in a town called Westmont in DuPage County. Okay.
All right, so it's not in Quebec, so you must be in Illinois. Okay.
Illinois. Yeah.
Let's see here. This is per, I'm using a weather app for my, city here in Georgia. I don't know how well this is going to work or not, but please give me an update for Illinois.
Okay, well, while we you know, figure out what we're doing with tornado sirens and what that, Luna, go for it. Sorry. This is a weird episode.
This is where you usually get to the lowest room, inside most interior room, usually like a bathtub or something like that.
Fun fact, I'm on the sixth floor, so we're working on that.
Yeah, it's a lot of stairs and work there, buddy.
So where's the, anyways, let's just keep talking while I'm moving around on finding my cat's cage. There it is. No, Chicagoland is, this is kind of a side thing with also just Chicago. Chicago loves its sports. It's a sports town, but I don't know why they don't love racing more. Cause you know, you think about some of the classic bits of Chicago cinema, they involve cars, you know, like I think about like Blues Brothers and stuff like that.
But to add on what you're saying there, I mean, cars is a big thing. You mentioned the movie. Okay. People probably don't remember this, but way back in the day, NASCAR ran races at Soldier Field.
Oh yeah.
It was a racetrack back in the 2000 year. And the couple years around that area, there was another track in Chicago. It was like a 1 mile oval, I believe it was, that the Indy cars ran. Of course that doesn't exist anymore. But, you know, there's been so many different histories of Chicagoland. It doesn't say anything about a tornado warning, so I don't know why it's going off. But there's a tornado watch.
Okay. Well,
a heat advisory.
The alarm stopped, so I'm just going to roll the dice on this one. Can I also share another interesting bit of Chicago racing history?
Yeah, a lot of close finishes, like I mentioned. Obviously, Kevin Harvick won the first two races at the Speedway. And then after that, I believe, who won the third race there? I can't remember. It was Harvick. Ryan Newman, I believe, won that race. But yeah, I mean, obviously the track itself, 18 degrees of banking. The straightaway in the backstretch is not straight. As a matter of fact, it's the only straightaway in NASCAR history to have an orange go down it. And let's see what else. Obviously a curved back straightaway, front straightaway, obviously with the D shaped in it. you don't really get much of a chance to rest. And I think that's a key in this race is going to be the fact that you're going to be constantly turning. The track's bumpy. Obviously, it's abrasive. And I think you're going to see the track go from the bottom to the top, which I think is going to be a new element from last season to this season, is the fact that you're going to have a multi-banked or a multi-groove racetrack here coming up tomorrow night or Wednesday night, whenever Wednesday is. You know, so we're looking forward to, you know, that. And there's so many mysteries, I think, that are going to come in and play a role here.
Yeah, and it again, there's a lot of different levels of, like, talking about why aren't they still racing there anymore, the Chicago culture. But we race there, and we have fun. So I'm excited that we're going back for it. One little tidbit I want to share before we start, you know, we do a quick little chat about how we think Indy went. Did you know that the very first auto race in America was in Chicago?
I do remember that because Dale Jr. talks about it on his podcast a lot.
So it's, I remember if you go to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, Illinois, you actually can see the car that won. Sorry, I'm trying to hold a microphone and carry a cat cage and a dog and go down my hallway. I'm curious how long my internet's going to stay connected for this, but
is anyone else picture this besides me right now?
It is absurd what's happening right now. My phone just alerted me to say extreme alert for take shelter. So this is going to be the weirdest podcast episode I think we've ever had. So what else was I going to say? Sorry, my brain is just all over the place. This is okay. A weird moment.
I got you back here while you're working on that. So obviously Indianapolis was one of the wildest races in the history of this series, period. And that's coming from the broadcast standpoint. So we had 100 laps of racing. I'm sorry, 80 laps of racing, 200 miles, and a race that nobody knew who was going to win this thing until turn three of the final lap, when it was over with. So you get a chance, watch the broadcast, though. It was fantastic. And it set the final four. In the end, we had a first-time winner in Cody Beatty, who led the final couple laps of that race. At one point in the last 10 laps, the leaders of the race were running at about the speed of the 1911 Indy 500, it seemed like. They were all running at like 130 mile an hour, 140, just kind of running around the track, trying to keep the gas mileage going in the truck. And in the end, Cody was able to kind of step it up and just pull away and drive away back at full speed and hold off the others there. I'm having a blank here in my head as I go to pull up the finishing order, but Cody ends up winning that race and what ends up being a wild finish because it was like, all right, who's in, who's out. And then really controversial after the race happens that unfortunately one driver misses out apparently points wise because of an incident after the race. So it's an unfortunate deal there. And there's more details to come through all that, but Indianapolis lived up to the wildness that a race should, entering the final race of the season here at Chicago next week. And the one thing I take is I know the schedule's been released, but I don't see why Indianapolis is not the finale of each first round race going into Chicagoland each season. It's like the perfect two races to have, especially being a Midwest league, or I should say a Midwest based league now, because obviously it's all over the place now. But Indianapolis lived up to its name. It was some fantastic racing, came down to fuel mileage, not many cautions, but just great when it was all over with. And I mean, Cody Beatty goes out there, steals this win, and I'm going to say he stole it because he stole it. And he did it perfectly. Ben Pierce gets his best career finish, finishes second. Noah Mayari finishes third. Sean Peach in fourth. Alan Best finishes fifth. And yes, that's thunder if you're hearing that outside my window. The main story of this race was what happened back at the beginning of the race. Justin Bondurant on lap 15 Tries to go to pit road, and I don't know if he wheel hopped, if he something went wrong with the brakes, but he all of a sudden hangs a right. Coming out of going into pit road, it was like his truck just darted to the right, spins out, and within about 5 to 10 seconds, here comes Calhoun in and smashes right into him. Now, of course, you think when I say 10 to 15 seconds later that he arca brake. No, it was one of those things where Bondurant was in a blinding spot coming off of turn four, and Calhoun didn't really know to the last minute, and bam-o, he hits him. And took him out of the race and out of the championship run because he was running second at that point in the championship race. So eliminated him from the final four because obviously he fell out and down to about the fifth or sixth spot. And later on into the race, Caden Atkins gets into a big wreck with Jason Dalton. And that takes him out of the playoff race. So all of a sudden you're looking at a race between six guys racing for the final four, and you've got guys all the way down in like entering this race 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. You know, unfortunately Allen was 10th and he was already eliminated because of missing a race, but you got these guys who all of a sudden didn't think they probably had any kind of shot, or all of a sudden got a shot to get into playoffs. And as you see here in the background, obviously Sam's got a lot of things going on there, so we're hoping he's okay right now. They're going through some bad weather there outside.
No,
it's of
all good. I'm here.
I know you are. I can hear you in the background. I'm just like, all right, well, I haven't heard him yell the classic line from Twister. It's here! you know, that obviously takes Caden Atkins out of the picture. So now with those guys out, you're looking at Noah Mayari. You're looking at Sean Peachin. You're looking at Blaine Sparling all of a sudden. And Christopher Dean, drivers that are down in the standings in the middle of this race. It's like they've got a shot now. Who's going to be the final two people? Because automatically you think Noah's in because he moves up in the second with what's going on with him. And then, you know, what happens the rest of the race? And then all of a sudden the fuel mileage comes into play. And you got, again, Cody Beatty, Ben Pierce, and Noah Mayari all going around the track at like a it was somebody else that was going at a snail's pace around the track. You've got Mayari and Sean Peachin coming like bad out of hells because they had pitted for tires and fuel and they're trying to get the track position. And it comes down to Cody running out of gas on the back straightaway after the race is over, winning this thing. And you got drivers now in the playoffs like Noah Mayari. You have Blaine Sparling and Christopher Dean. That's your final four.
I
along
think
with
you've
Zach
got
Hall.
The numbers wrong there. I don't mean to interject, but Christopher Dean did not make it in. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I did. My bad.
It's three PPM drivers. You've got Zach Ammon, Noah Mayari, Caden Atkins. Yeah, because Dean was the one that ran out with like a half lap to go.
Yeah,
I know
right.
this because okay. I was in his ear talking him into that strategy, thinking he could eke it around because I wrecked out earlier.
Yep. Nope. My apologies. Misspoke. So yeah, Dane's in and he gets in by like a point or two.
Caden Atkins.
God, blessed America. Yeah, I'm getting distracted everywhere now. Okay.
We're podcasting under duress.
Yeah. Right. We're doing our best here, but no, Caden gets in and Dane's already out because he was pretty much too far back. So the question, how does Caden Atkins get in? Cause if you go back to the end of the broadcast, as I'm waiting for seeing if any kind of points would get updated or whatnot, I'm like, all right, it's either going to be Caden or Sean Peachin getting it. So we go to the end of the race. After the race, something happens. I don't know the details of it, but Sean Peachin ends up with a 2X. Because of that 2X, Sean lost, was it 5 bonus points for the 0X rule?
Mm-hmm.
Those 5 points end up putting Caden into the final spot and eliminating Sean Peachin after his fourth place run. Obviously, there are going to be some that are going to argue in favor of Sean. There's going to be some that argue in favor of the call. I feel terrible for Sean for what has happened, but I have seen this in numerous races and not just in this series. I mean, I don't know the whole details of what happened in the wreck or whatever happened after the race. If it was just somebody joking around and they hit each other, or if somebody actually wrecked Sean, or if Sean just accidentally hit somebody or whatnot. Didn't see it. I didn't get to see it on broadcast. Didn't even know
back until after the race and after it already closed out the session. So obviously it goes on into a deal where, you know, Sean obviously protests to try to get the points back or whatever. It doesn't happen. You know, and credit to you guys. Obviously, you guys kept to the rules, which is what you're supposed to do. And you feel bad for Sean because, you know, he deserves to be in with the hard work he did in the season and stuff like that. But I think in one of these deals, I think the right call is made because this is something that happens all the time. And you got leagues out there, believe it or not, that are like, all right, if you hit each other after the race is over, you actually get penalized by the league. And they actually want you to cross the line, you know, pace yourself, whatever, and go back to pit road and park. There's some leagues out there, if you hit somebody after the yellow, like intentionally because you're, you know, pissed off at them or whatever, that will park you the next week. It actually happened to me one race in a league. But needless to say, it happened, unfortunately. And because of that, Sean's out. And Caden Atkins is in. I want to make sure I say this right. So it's Zach, Caden, Blaine, and Noah. So
that's
three
right.
PPM guys versus Blaine Sparling from Down Under Racing.
He sure came through for us, man. I think he is the most, the story of keep it easy, keep it consistent, do your best. Because there's so many guys where I'm not saying that he isn't someone who's, he's an incredible driver and he keeps getting better. But what he did proves that not slow and steady wins the race, because he was fast that race, no doubt about it. But, you know, throughout the season, just he keeps it clean and it really has paid dividends. And I'm excited to see what he can do in the final race. Like, sure, again, he's not a raw pace guy. He's always said that he saves the tires, he keeps the car clean. And those are two things that go a long way at Chicagoland. So, with Sean, if I could expand upon that. I feel bad about it because it was a really, really, really tough call, because he did completely deserve to be in the final race. And it basically came down to, it was a completely accidental situation, but if we were to clear that, you know, what does that mean for every other incident we couldn't resolve like this, that was just like that? And again, the championship was so close to getting to the top 10, it was so close to getting to the final four. So you never have, it's never a fun day in the office when you have to figure out something like that, but it's, you know, I wish it could have gone different, but at the end of the day, you gotta stick to the rules, because that's what you have to do. Is, you know, if we need to adjust something for next season, we're looking into that, but this is what we have for now, and it's not fair to move around it. And I hope that we can, you know, it's hard to keep everyone happy at the end of the day, but I don't blame him for feeling upset.
No, and I don't want to cut you off on this, but there's nothing wrong with that rule. I know it's something that, that I'm sure you and Travis are like, all right, you feel bad and you want to modify it or whatever, but in the end, it's okay. Take away the fact, yes, it was an accidental deal. I totally understand that. And you can't blame anybody for an accident. It happens. However, when it's a rule like that, your job in a race truck or a car is to, okay, you cross the start finish line. We all know pretty much as soon as all the cars cross the line, that's when the race is officially over when it comes to keeping track of stats on iRacing. So you cross the line, you still got to kind of keep your head on a swivel and realize what's around you. Yeah, you're taking a deep breath and finally relaxing after a wild race at Indy. But you've got to keep that car in one piece and bring it back to the pits. Or worst case, pull over and just get out real quickly. And that's easier said than done. I'm sitting here, you know, hindsight 2020. I'm a broadcaster. You know, when I'm out there racing, you know, I'm going to take a deep breath, then kind of relax myself and hope nobody hits me or whatever happens, or I slide up into the wall. It can happen. It's totally an accidental freak deal that happened. But I think there's a rule there for a reason, and it's not only to keep the race clean during the race, but afterwards, you know, you got to be careful. You got to be aware that those points are there. Best comparison I can think of this whole situation. Let's think of any major sporting event. Sorry, I heard my window clink for a second, like maybe hail or something, but we're okay. Think of a major sporting event, World Series, the big game in the NFL, the NBA Finals, even hockey. Okay, I'm going to use hockey since I know that's a big sport of yours. So, less than 2 minutes to go in the game. All right, you got a tie game 0-0, third period. And all of a sudden, I'm just going to throw names of players out there because let's see, Blackhawks. Was it Jonathan Toews, I think, is the name?
That's the one.
Okay. Jonathan Toews gets a penalty for cross-checking. Very close call or whatever, or it's so close enough they make the call. Some could say, all right, why would you call that at that moment of the game? There's no difference between the opening quarter of the first game of the season and 35 seconds ago in the fourth quarter of the biggest game or race of your life. A good official is going to call it the same exact way. And you're not going to please everybody with it. And in this situation, that is what's transpired. Unfortunately, we've had a call be made, ironically, at the last race of the playoffs first round that happened, granted, after the race, but still because of the iRacing settings, affected somebody's points. And the rules are there. And it's unfortunate. I hate it for Sean. We all do. But you got what you got, unfortunately. And like you said, if he gets it changed, you got to go back to every single person in the first four seasons that had a point change because of an accident after the race.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm glad that we can try and keep things as fair and consistent as possible, and I hope we can keep maintaining that going forward. But it, I think, you know, it's a lot of the things with admitting, I don't want to say aren't fun, but there's a lot of work to it, which is no surprise. But, you know, we're proud of what we're able to make and do. And there are some days where, you know, you have to make the hard calls, and that was one of them. And, you know, I think it sucks, but like if there was an incident where we've had this happen, of an extreme after race hit, you know, we dealt with it accordingly, and the record shows that. So, no, and I was actually just thinking about the whole race in general, and, you know, you're talking about how Cody Beatty, you know, stole the race, and, you know, he did play a very impressive strategy that all worked out, but, you know, he did still qualify. I remember I was watching the race a little bit before I had to go to the basement of my apartment where I'm at right now, so if the acoustics are strange, I apologize. He qualified third. He was running up there for a bit. So, you know, it's still a hugely impressive race by Cody there. You know, actually, you know, we're talking a lot about the drivers' championship, between, our final four, Zach Ammann, Caden Eckings, Noah Mayori, and Blaine Sparling. But there is another championship that's still very close and is going to come down to the wire. And that's a team championship. Now, I know that PPM has absolutely dominated. We can, you know, the record shows that they are a significant point lead away from everyone else. Their team points total right now is 6,195. But second place is close, like real close, because with that huge performance by Cody Beatty and Sean Peachin, Ace Racing took over second place in the team championship with what they have, 5,283, and Down Under Racing is back down in third with 5,225. So that's like what, a 50 point ish difference?
That's one truck pretty much difference. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, that's you versus Cody, or that's Blaine versus Sean, or, you know, so on and so forth. That's one truck basically races difference.
Yeah, and that's me not being able to pull together when I tried to get around Tyler Brewer. And you know, I don't know why sometimes I do this. It's like you're trying to avoid a wreck and you commit to one direction and the wreck keeps happening that way. And instead of going the other way, you just keep committing because he and who was it? I think it was Lucas Strayer came together and he started coming down the track, and I don't know why I was like, oh, I'm going to go under him, because that's where there was a lot of, you know, runoff. He kept coming down. I kept coming on him, and I ran headlong into him and absolutely annihilated the engine. My aero wasn't that bad. It just went right into the block. So, and there's your difference. Had I had a stronger ace, I mean, I wasn't that far off of Ben Pierce's pace. We were side by side there in the race. Maybe that's me who comes in second. We'll never know. But it really is going to be an intense last race between those two teams. And, you know, this all started because Travis was talking smack on the very first, on the old podcast, when he started talking smack about Aced. So this is going to be a thriller of a finish right down to the end for not only the drivers, but the teams.
Here's the interesting twist of the whole thing. So you've got one team, so to say, 75% of them against one driver. However, that one driver is on the team that is racing for a team championship against another team that has no one in the final four.
Right.
Talk about a confusing picture and an interesting a race coming up. Blaine Sparling, that dude's in the middle of something. I don't know if he wants to be in the middle of right now, but that is going to be a great team championship battle for second. We'll have to keep track of that throughout this run, but man, what a first things first. I can't believe we're coming up to the end of the season. It feels like we just flew right through it. And, you know, now we get ready for Chicago, as you mentioned. And it's like, you know, I know I've kind of talked about it a little bit. But the final four, as we've talked about, Zach, Blaine, not Dane. I'm keeping myself from that one. Caden and Noah Mayari, those four. Noah finished second last season at Chicago. People don't remember that. He finished second to Ricky Springer and had a shot. So he has a legit chance to win this thing, period.
Honestly, he is my pick to win. I'm just going to, you know, instead of, I'm just going to kind of go right for it in a way. I bet we could have gone back and forward on that. But, like, I think he's the guy to watch. I'm like, I know Zach is killer at this track. We've seen him absolutely have some serious performances when him and JW were, you know, battling it out at the end. He was right there with it when I took him out that orange season. But, you know, he and Caden, they race each other really hard. And, you know, I made the bold prediction that Dane was going to wreck out of every race in the playoffs. He's not wrecked out of every race, but he has had bad contact each race. So I do feel like I'm a bit of the
bad juju.
Yeah, I'm bad voodoo. So I don't want to do this again to another PPM driver. But Noah is the one to watch. I really feel like this could be his race to surprise.
So with that said, so Zach's the favorite. Let's be honest with the way he's ran the season. You put probably Noah Mayari second?
Yeah.
Out of that bunch?
Yeah. I mean, Caden's fast, but, you know,
Caden's been fast, but he hasn't been as consistent as Noah.
And Zach has outsmarted him the last few times that they've been battling out for the lead. I mean, think about that Pocono end.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Blaine. Blaine is the, how would I put this?
Wild card?
That's a good term. He is the Chicago State of the Final Four, or Illinois Chicago. I'm sorry, wrong school. That went to the Final Four a couple years ago.
Loyola. Who was Loyola?
Was it Loyola? Loyola. I'm sorry. Yeah, the school with the sister, whatever her name was.
Yeah, I was actually used to live kitty corner of that campus when they did that. It was insane because my old apartment in Chicago was across from the Loyola campus. It was nuts when they did it.
Yeah, so forgive me. I got that wrong. But Blaine Sparling is that equivalent, and that's no disrespect to him, but that's when you look at the name Blaine Sparling in this series and you look at those other three, you just immediately, from watching the racing this season, you feel like the three are up here and Blaine's down here. But that's not to take anything away from the 5-9. That guy will flat out beat you without speed. And I think if the top three get into a tussle with each other, which, let's face it, we've seen it every week, all of a sudden this 59's running up in the top five could steal the show. I'm going to save my pick until we're done.
But right. I like doing opposites.
But I think all four have legit chances. They all have different driving styles. Zach, he doesn't play games. He goes. Noah, I think, is more of the kind of lets the race kind of settle and then makes his moves up. Caden is the one that, I don't want to say baffles me. I see an aggressive side of him, but I see at the same time how he tries to keep himself up there in the front of the field. Blaine would be the Mark Martin of today, if you want to look at an example. Mark would, or you know what, Mark's not even a good example. How about David Pearson? Let's go with the guy back in the 70s here. A guy that would sit back there, 10th to 12th position, 13th or 14th, whatever, just kind of hanging out. And all of a sudden, he's running third. And it's like, where the hell did he come from? I think that's the way we're going to see this race shape out. And I think the one mistake that the drivers don't need to make Wednesday night is going outside of their realm. Don't be different because it's you versus the other three running for a championship. You got to run your race because, one, it's the longest race of the season, distance-wise. I believe 250 miles, so 167 laps or 68, whatever you guys have.
Yeah, and you got a double stint somewhere in there.
Right. And then, yeah, with the tires, you've got to now run some 40 laps on two sets of, or on a single set of tires. So there's tons of strategy in here that can come into play and so many elements that can happen in this race.
And this is just an overall, not even just for this finale, but I think this finale really represents what this season has been. The season has had a very interesting cast of different winners. You know, this isn't season three where Ricky Springer just stomped all over everybody and we was the Ricky show, although that might be season five again. This was not that. This was a season of surprises and different winners and different guys showing off their strengths and different guys suffering from their weaknesses. This was a season of some controversy. I mean, I'm not going to pretend that this was our prettiest season administratively, where we've had some incidents that haven't been fun to enforce or judge or may look bad. Season four has been... had a lot of those that I'm not, you know, I still go back to. I mean, you want to talk about Talladega, you want to talk about Canadian Tire, you want to talk about USA. I mean, there has been some races there where it's been, on some side of things, really tough. And it's, you know, some people would be, you know, upset and put off by what's happened. On the flip side, you've had some of the best races I think we've ever produced as a league. Indianapolis, I think, is a perfect one. I think about the Bristol Dirt finish. Think about there's another race that was really, really incredible to watch. I mean, there's more than one. So I think the season has been such a true Jekyll and Hyde situation where you have guys surprising for wins, guys surprising for top five finishes, where I think some seasons were a bit more processional. This one has been right down to the last minute of the last race before the championship. Unexpected and crazy. And I'm really thrilled to see that we've gotten this far and where we're going to continue to go from here. I mean, I am tickling myself with excitement for the next season, because I think a lot of guys have already expressed their interest to come back, and I just can't wait to see us do it all over again.
Yeah, the field's going to grow, but you know, I know there's a couple races in here that they're missing winter. I'm looking off the schedule here, but just off the top of my head, if I can remember who won all these races, we're looking at about six, maybe seven, if not eight different winners this season.
I think I can pull up the winners pretty quick. Let me see.
Let's see. I know Evans won at Talladega. Cruz won at Atlanta. You had Caden won at USA. The Bristol Concrete went to Jason Dalton. The Dirt Race went to Calhoun. Homestead went to Zach.
Yep.
Canadian Tire to Calhoun. And then Zach again and Dalton again. So now actually it's maybe a little bit less. We've had six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six. Yeah, six different winners this season. Nothing to be ashamed of at all.
But it's been, but they've never been blowaway wins. They've been really, I feel like most of the time, pretty. I mean, the only, the biggest blowaway win was Canadian Tire, where William sprinted off into the distance, and then you had me and Blaine going in second and third, and after Bondurant and who came together? Was it
Caden Atkins.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, that was the only race that really felt like a blowout of the bunch. Otherwise, all of them pretty much right down to the end were intense. And it has been a spectacular season to watch happen.
So I think we're in line for a big race come Wednesday night, and I hope every driver can go get viewers. Last season, if you remember, the final race of the season, we broke the Captain Channel's network, attendance record, over 40 viewers for the first time ever. We had people watching from a locker room of a baseball field. We had people watching from a brewery. So we had easily over 100 people watching. Unfortunately, YouTube only counts viewerships. So we only had 40 something, but you know, still, I'm not going to be begging here, but you know, get your family and friends, come over and watch a great race Wednesday night. You'll see it on the Captain Esports Network, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, you're going to have multi-groove racing on a worn-out surface, on a curved back straightaway. No oranges going down it, but everything else is lined up for this thing to be fantastic. You're likely going to see all four of those drivers qualify up front. Always happens. And in the end, don't be surprised if all four finish 1 through 4. I've said this before. I had it happen in a Friday night league of mine that I was in last season, I think it was. You know, people argued, oh, well, NASCAR's fixed because, you know, the final four, they're going to finish in the top four because they're, you know, the NASCAR wants them to be the top four. That's why fifth place is running its own pace or whatever. Then how come the Friday night league I did a couple of seasons ago had 1 through 4 be the championship four? You can't predict that stuff. You can't plan that stuff. In the end, you have to race. And I'm not going to be surprised, like I said, if the top four Wednesday night are the top four in the championship.
All right, well, you've been holding out on saying who your prediction is. I pretty much buried the lead real quick, but you said you were going to save it to the end. I know we got an interview to get to with you and our guest-to-be, so I'll leave it out there. But before we wrap this portion of the show up, why don't you tell me who your prediction is?
Well, I think I, in the end, am going to go with Noah Mayori myself. I think Noah's going to sneak in there, and I think he's going to win this race, just like he won the finale in Season 1. And this time it'll be in his own truck. And he'll bring home his own championship, and it'll be his. And after the ups and downs of a season where a few weeks ago he was talking about not even racing anymore because he was that angry and felt like his team was being disrespected, to all of a sudden now being the champion standing on top. I could definitely see that number four and Frank, you judge the four, right? No, two car. Or no, he's two's Cade. I can't remember numbers now. The 8. There we go. The 8 truck ending up in victory lane.